SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
We interrupt this ad break to bring you a public kindness announcement. Put it back in the bay. You've seen it 1,000 times. Calf muscles quivering like a polar bear fresh out of the waxing salon as they heave 38 stacked trolleys up a broken escalator. It ain't easy being a trolley boy. And you're thinking of leaving your trolley next to your car? Go on, walk the extra 12 metres to the bay. Log your act of kindness at kindnessfactory.com and use the hashtag OneSmallAct.
Authorised by the Kindness Factory, Canberra.
SBS Radio.
Adam Benz foi levado para um orfanato em Recife, no Brasil, ainda com poucos dias de vida. Desde muito jovem, Adam sempre teve curiosidade de saber mais sobre as suas raízes brasileiras e seus pais biológicos. Quem são eles? Por que o abandonaram? O que os levou a tomar uma decisão tão drástica? E quais são as suas circunstâncias de vida? As perguntas levaram ele e a esposa a buscarem uma resposta. E através de um grupo no Facebook e com a ajuda de desconhecidos, conseguiram reencontrar a sua família brasileira 35 anos depois do dia que foi deixado em um orfanato. Eu sou Luciana Fraguas e converso agora ao vivo com o Adam Benz, que vive em Perth e que nos fala sobre sua surpreendente decisão de ir atrás da família brasileira. A entrevista será feita em inglês, já que Adam está começando a estudar português para poder se comunicar com seus recém-descobertos pais e 5 irmãs. Hi Adam, tudo bem?
Tudo bem. Bom dia, Luciana.
Bom dia. Adam, welcome to the SBS Portuguese program.
It's amazing to be here. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Why did you decide to investigate your Brazilian roots and find your biological parents?
I've always had a feeling deep down inside that part of me is missing. Growing up in the U.S. with adopted parents, I was around people that did not look like me, that were into a completely different culture than the culture in Brazil. So I grew up not knowing what my roots were, and part of me always wanted to know what that was. And so I felt like a part of me was always missing, especially not being able to know who my biological parents were or my family was. And so that was the catalyst that drove me to look for them and to find them.
You were taken to an orphanage in Recife when
yes.
you were just a few days old, and then
yes.
adopted by an American family. When did your adopted parents tell you about your origins? Were they supportive?
Yes, my parents have always been supportive, and they told me as soon as I was able to understand what that meant, they told me, particularly my mom, my adopted mom. She told me all the time, what my story was, where I came from, how I became to be adopted from them. And they always encouraged me to take part in my Brazilian heritage. I have that many Brazil shirts and soccer jerseys and hats. And they always encouraged me to get in touch with that. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I really took an interest in that, because I was a kid, so I just wanted to have fun and play with my friends, so it wasn't until I was an adult that I really started to feel that was the right thing to do and that I needed to do that. My adoptive parents were always supportive of that part of me, and they told me as early as they possibly could have about where I came from.
And growing up in United States, which city, which town were you in?
So we lived in a few cities because my dad was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force. So we moved around to a few different Air Force bases. So we lived in Fort Worth, Texas for a while because there was an Air Force base called Carswell Air Force Base. So we lived there for a number of years. And then once he exited the military and was honorably discharged, he then moved to St. Louis and we all went with him, which is in the Midwest. So that's in the state of Missouri. And I grew up there until I was about 18 years old. And so I went to grade school, high school, did all that in St. Louis. And then once I was old enough and I turned 18 and I went to university, I moved back to Texas. I moved back to Fort Worth. And then I lived there until my mid-20s. And so Yeah, I grew up in mainly St. Louis and Fort Worth.
Did you have any contact with the Brazilian culture through music, food?
Unfortunately, no. Where I live, there wasn't, I couldn't find any Brazilians there, to be honest with you. And not that I spent a lot of my time looking, but just in day-to-day life, like, I didn't come in contact with any Brazilians. It wasn't until I moved to Perth in Australia that there are Brazilians everywhere here. And so it made it a lot easier to want to speak Portuguese and to want to go back into the culture, because there are a lot of Brazilians out here. So and I think that also made it easier for me to want to pursue this and to learn Portuguese and to learn my culture and my heritage.
And you've been looking for your parents, at least you had interest in doing so, since a very young age when you were in high school. Only last year, though, you were able to locate them in this small town of Remígio, which has 20,000 residents in one of Brazil's poorest states, Paraíba. How did you find them?
Like, there has to be some greater force at work, because this, to me, this was a miracle. So, like, there are points in the process where I feel like I just given up looking for them, because I looked and I couldn't find anything. You know, went on Ancestry.com, did a DNA test, couldn't find anyone, did all that kind of stuff. And then my wife put a post up on a website, a Facebook page, that looks for people's adopted family and adopted parents, and they try to find their biological parents. 6 months after that post was put up, a lady by the name of Julia had come across it and said that because she was from that part of the country, from Brazil, and she's familiar with the system there in terms of, you know, being able to go through court documents and orphanage files and all that kind of stuff to be able to find the relevant information. And we gave her all the paperwork that I had, from all the information from my birth records to everything that we had, we gave it to Julia. And it was within a week, and she found my parents somehow. And she did a lot of scouring on Facebook. She was messaging people to get leads, and this person knew that, and that person may have known someone that knew someone. And she just kept doing that. And before you know it, like, she'd found my parents in Remígio.
She set up a meeting between you guys, an online meeting, a video call. I would like you to take us to that moment when that video call happened. How did you feel? How did they feel? Was it a bit awkward?
It was funny because I usually wake up like around 5:30 in the morning. And so, like, I woke up, like I usually do around that time, at around 5:30. And I look at my phone and I get a message from Julia, and it says, "You need to sit up for this, Adam. I got some news to tell you." So, like, I pop straight up and I'm like wide awake then. The message goes on something like, "I think I found your parents. This is a picture of mom. This is a picture of dad. They want to talk to you, like, as soon as possible. So if you're ready, like, we want to set up a video call." And so I turn over and I said to my wife, "Yeah, like, you need to wake up now." And she thinks something's wrong. So she's like, pop straight up. And I'm like, "We found my parents." And, like, I just knew it in my heart. I knew that was it. So I took one look at the pictures, and I was like, "That's them." We went straight on the call. Yeah, and then once we got on the call, obviously, like, I can't speak Portuguese yet, and they don't speak English, but Julia translated the entire interaction that we had with each other. And so it was because the reception was poor. Like, it was a bit slow, and, you know, because there's a lot of people on the call, like, you know, my four of my five sisters were on the call, and then some of our extended family as well, plus mom and dad and me. So, like, there was a lot of people on the call, so there was a lot of, like, waiting and translating and then waiting for the reaction and whatnot. But, like, I felt like a deer in the headlights, honestly, during the conversation. I didn't have an emotional reaction like I would have thought I would, I think, because I was just so shocked. Like, I went to bed one night, and I woke up with my biological parents and my Brazilian family, just like that. So I was in shock, and I still, to this day, I still am in amazement and awe that we found each other and that they're in our lives. So it was an incredible experience.
And since that video call, that you now have photos of your family, your sisters, they all resemble you, and you also had a glimpse at their lives in Remedio, in Paraíba. How do you feel thinking that that could be your life too? Now you have two undergraduate degrees from the United States, a master's degree from Canada in coaching, a PhD here in Australia in sport exercise science. Would you have the chances you had as an adopted child of a middle-class American parents if you stayed in Remedio? Did you think about that? How would be your life if you haven't been adopted?
I've thought about that a lot. I'm sure my life would be different. I don't think it would change the fact that I would still be happy and that I would still be at peace with my life, regardless of how many degrees I would have or what I would be doing for a career. Yeah, at the end of the day, if I did stay there, I would still have my family. And I feel blessed because now my family is double the size that it would have been if I would have stayed. So now I have twice as much family. So I think it would have been a win-win. Either way, I sort of had that happiness and that peace within myself. But I do think about that and how my life would be different if I had stayed there.
Did you ask them what were the circumstances? Why did they have to put you up for adoption?
Yes. And so I'll give you the story from my Brazilian mom, and then I'll give you a story from my adopted American mother, and I'll tell you both sides. So my Brazilian mom, she had two prior kids. She had five kids total. Two unfortunately passed away, and then one was a stillbirth. But she still had my two older sisters, Vilma and Veronica, and so she had to move to João Pessoa to work. And when she moved there, she actually had to give my two sisters to her sister in order for them to be taken care of while she was working there. And during that time, when she moved to João Pessoa, she ended up falling pregnant with me. And then the story goes that the lady that she was working for basically said that if she wanted to continue her work there, that she wasn't going to be able to have me and keep her job. And so she needed that job in order to take care of my older sisters. So she decided, and it was unfortunately, it would have been a really tough decision for her, that she had to put me up for adoption. And so my mom's boss had contacts with people in Recife who knew of an American couple who was looking for a child to adopt from Brazil. And so 3 days after I was born, my mother, Raimunda, she took me down to Recife and she gave me over to the orphanage, which I believe at the time was called Pequeno Filha de Deus. So once she handed me over to the orphanage, then my American parents then took me and brought me back to the U.S. And so that was the story from my Brazilian mom's side. My American mom's side, so they weren't able to have children. And so my mom was telling me, and she actually told me this morning, that she read an article in the University Alumni magazine at the university that she worked at about a man by the name of Robert Wellman, who was the person that was running that orphanage, and about how he was helping Brazilian orphans find families in the United States. And so she saw that and she filed for the adoption paperwork immediately. And so it was a 2-year process before they were finally able to go down to Recife to pick me up and to go through the whole adoption process down there. But so it was about 2 years, but they eventually went and they picked me up and they brought me back to the U.S. and they raised me there.
What did your mother, your father, your biological mother and father tell you when they saw you? What was the first thing? Were they emotional after all this?
Yeah, they were. I mean, they just told me that they were so happy and so relieved that they knew that I was okay and that I was living the best possible life that I could. And yeah, my father in particular was emotional, which I was surprised at, because he actually, I'm not sure he'll be happy for me to say this, but he walked away from my mother when she fell pregnant. And so for whatever reason, and so she was left on her own which is part of the reason why she had to give me up for adoption. And so he was particularly emotional, which I was surprised at, because we weren't even sure if he would want to have even been on the call when we called. But it's funny, we talk every single day now, every single day.
It's amazing how generous you were. Maybe other adopted children wouldn't have this curiosity of going back to their roots and accepting the family for their decisions they made 35 years ago. It's impressive how you turned things around for yourself. Why did you do that? If you can tell us very briefly.
Well, so why did I decide to
maybe forgive everyone?
Yes. Listen, you don't forgive, you become a slave, and I'm not a slave. And so I forgave my dad a long time ago. I forgive my mom too, because at the time I thought she abandoned me. At the time I thought I was left in a shoebox. That was a story that I was told, that I believed for 34 years of my life, that I was left in a shoebox and that they found me on the side of the road under a billboard. And then I was taken to the orphanage from there. When I told the story to my mom, she was horrified. That was not the case at all. She took me directly to the orphanage, and that wasn't the case, because I thought I was just abandoned by both my parents. And so, yeah, I've forgiven them, because I know they loved me so much. They wanted the best life that I could possibly have, and that was the best decision that they could make at that particular moment in their lives. So I forgive them, and I love them so much. I'll continue to do so every day.
Can you send them a short message in Portuguese to the family that will be listening, the family in Brazil, the biological parents?
Te amo. Muito, muito. Te amo. I love them very, very much. And yes, and I will talk to them every single day for the rest of my life, as long as they're alive and I'm alive. And I will send them all my love every day.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.